Well, a very good day to you, and welcome to A Good Word for Today from God's Holy Word. I'm Gil Hammond with you today, and we're going to be turning in the Gospel of John for our message today. And we're continuing with our series of messages concerning the question, is Jesus who he really claimed to be? We're looking at the life of Jesus today, just hours before his crucifixion. On that evening, when he sat down with his disciples for the last time here on the earth in human form to observe the Passover and also to institute the new covenant. We've been speaking a lot about that new covenant. It's so important to us today, for we are living under the new covenant. The new covenant that was instituted with the body and the blood of Jesus Christ when he died upon the cross of Calvary and paid sin's debt for all mankind for all time. Again, I need to stress, and we need to understand the truth of Hebrews, that Jesus was the great high priest himself, the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world, the only begotten Son of God the Father, whose purpose upon this earth was to go to the cross of Calvary and to be that perfect sacrifice to pay sin's debt for all of us. So he paid for all sin, for all mankind, for all time upon the cross of Calvary. And as we look at his life today in John chapter 14, we're just a matter of hours before his crucifixion, probably no more than 8 or 9 hours before his crucifixion. This is late in the evening, on Thursday evening, or it would be Friday according to the Jewish time of keeping the days, for their new day began at 6 p.m. in the evening, of course, while ours, of course, today begins at midnight. So that difference needs to be kept in mind. This was actually early Friday in the day, although we would refer to it as Thursday night. And then he observed that last Passover meal, instituted the Lord's Supper. And of course, as we've mentioned before, John chapters 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17 are all chapters that John gives us in these hours, these few hours, from the actual observance of the Passover, the instituting of the Lord's Supper, until the time of his arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane, probably around 1 or 2 a.m. on this Friday morning, as we would call it. So we're going to be continuing our message today, and we're studying today about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that Jesus promised, and the Holy Spirit that came on the day of Pentecost to permanently indwell all believers. Oh, that's so important to us today, for that's the very presence of God within us. That's the very manifestation of God, the power and presence of the Holy Spirit within us as believers today. Well, let's take a moment to be in prayer, and then we'll go to God's Word for today. Father, thank you for your Word that you've given to us. Thank you for your many blessings. Thank you for the best blessing of all, Jesus, who came as our paraclete, our substitute, to pay sin's debt that we could not pay and to satisfy the requirements of the law. Now, the requirements of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. So Jesus died for us, that we might not have to die spiritually, but we might be able to live forever throughout eternity in heaven with you, with Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior, with the Holy Spirit, with all the saints of all the ages. Thank you, Father, for every blessing. Holy Spirit, lead and guide us today as we open the Word and speak from it. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, from John chapter 14, I want to read just a few verses from chapter 14, verses 12 through 17. So let's listen as we read from God's Word. Truly, truly, or verily, verily, I say to you, and this is Jesus speaking, of course. So he's saying, verily, verily, or of truth, I tell you the truth. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he shall do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not behold him or know him, but you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Now, these verses from John chapter 14, Jesus probably spoke while they were still in that upper room. Some scholars believe that it may have been spoken on the way to the garden as they were walking through those dark streets of Jerusalem late that night and walking out of Jerusalem across the brook Kidron up the side of the Mount of Olives, turning right into the Garden of Gethsemane. We find Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane around 1 o'clock, as best we can determine. I believe this was probably spoken still in the upper room. I believe that Jesus went into that upper room with his disciples just before 6 o'clock, because the new day would begin at 6, and Jesus was observing the Passover meal with his disciples just after 6 p.m. on what we would call a Thursday evening, and what the Jews would call the very beginning of the day on Friday at 6 p.m. So Jesus stayed in that upper room, I think, with his disciples, probably for the better part of 6 or maybe even 7 hours that evening. And he observed the Passover meal. You remember he gave the demonstration to his disciples of washing their feet and said, you should do this, you should care for one another, you should minister to one another, you should love one another, you should serve one another as I have demonstrated to you. And he explained to them that there was a new covenant being instituted tonight in his body and his blood. And he said, do this as often as you will in remembrance of me. And he also speaks to them, actually in John 13, 14, 15, and 16, these chapters about the Holy Spirit. And he tells them that another is coming. He's going away. It's time for him to fulfill the purpose for which God sent him into the world. That is to be the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world. That is to go to the cross of Calvary and to give his life and shed his blood for the payment of the sins of all mankind. So that it's time for this to happen, he's saying. But he said, I won't leave you comfortless. I'll pray the Father, and he will send you another comforter, the Holy Spirit. And when he comes, he will indwell you. He will be with you. He will be the power of God within you. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. In these verses that I've just read, there's at least 3 messages that I intend to bring you, God willing. I intend today to speak on the coming of the Holy Spirit, what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit, the purpose of the Holy Spirit in our lives, the importance of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He also spoke in these verses, ask anything in my name and I will give it to you. I want to take a session to speak on this, asking of the Father, speaking to the Father. Often this verse is quoted out of context, as well as some verses in Matthew and Mark that say, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. But remember, all verses of the Bible must be understood in the context in which they are spoken. This is not a blank check. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. It's not some formula that we ask God in the name of Jesus and it will be done. We'll get into that as we look at it later. But actually, any prayer that is answered of God must be prayed in the will of God. It must be prayed according to the will of God. It must be prayed unselfishly in order to give glory to God and to give blessing and praise to Him and to give blessing to other people. It must not be prayed from a selfish motive. We'll get into that in our next session. And then I also want to speak of verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Jesus says this many places in John. And in these chapters in particular, he repeats this several times. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. He said, a new commandment that I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you and have given myself for you. So my intent is to speak on those topics today on the Holy Spirit, next Sunday on the prayer, asking God in the name of Jesus, verse 13, and then the following Sunday, verse 14, if you ask anything in my name, will I do it? So that's a plan. Now, I'm very much aware that God can change those plans if he wants to. I have gone into the pulpit at times having prepared a message and found that at that point and at that time, the Holy Spirit leads me to give a different message. Now, that's hasn't happened to me too much. It hasn't happened to me a lot, but it has happened. And I try very much to be open to the leading of the Holy Spirit. So realizing that the Holy Spirit may have something else in mind, I'll be open to that. But the plan, if it is in the will of God, and if the Holy Spirit continues to lead in the direction that I think he's leading now, we'll speak today on the Holy Spirit, next session on prayer, asking God for anything in my name, and he will do it, Jesus said. But we'll keep that in context. And then the following session about the commandments of Jesus that he's given to us. He says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Well, let's continue with today's session concerning the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus speaks here in John about the Holy Spirit. And of course, here we're talking about verse 16 and 17. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. Now, this is Jesus speaking of the Holy Spirit that is to come. Now, the Holy Spirit is the power of God, is the manifestation of God. We find that that the Gospels speak of the Holy Spirit. We find it was the Holy Spirit that came upon Mary and actually conceived Jesus Christ. The angel spoke to Mary and said, the Holy Ghost will come upon you, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and that holy child that will be born of you will be the Son of God. So he is the only begotten, that is, begotten of God, begotten of the Holy Spirit. He is the seed of God and the seed of woman, and he is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Jesus Christ, Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God the Father. Now, if we turn back to Matthew just a moment, I want to look at verses 3, or chapter 3, and starting with verse 11. In verse 11 of chapter 3 of Matthew, Jesus is, it's John the Baptist speaking, by the way. As for me, I baptize you with water for repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So there is a baptism in the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the baptizer. He himself baptizes us as believers in the Holy Spirit. He said, with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So this is really one of the first acts of the Holy Spirit within our lives to come to indwell us. The result of this is that the Holy Spirit comes to make his permanent abode, as Jesus said. He will be with you forever, Jesus spoke here in John chapter 14 that we're reading just a moment ago. So here is John the Baptist speaking of Jesus coming and speaking of the fact that he would baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now down in verse 16, and after being baptized of John the Baptist, Jesus went up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and coming up on him. And a loud voice spoke from heaven, saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now, John saw this, the heavens open, and the Holy Spirit descending upon Jesus as a dove would come down. Now, this is not in the form of a dove. He said, as a bird would come down and light upon Jesus. The Holy Spirit did this in a similar manner. He came from heaven and landed upon Jesus and sat there, dwelt there, stayed there upon Jesus. Of course, the Holy Spirit empowered Jesus for his earthly ministry. So this was the coming of the Holy Spirit upon Jesus Christ to empower him for the beginning of his earthly ministry. Now, I might pause here and say that this is not unusual. Many places in the Old Testament, we read something like this, and the Holy Spirit came upon him. And notice that it's upon him. It's never in him. He was not filled with the Holy Spirit in a permanent fashion. The Holy Spirit came upon him, upon David, upon others in the Old Testament, to empower them for a particular task that they were to do at that particular time. Now, the Holy Spirit is the power of God. Therefore, when God is manifested in any fashion, the Holy Spirit is at work. The Holy Spirit is literally the manifester of Jesus, the manifester of God and the will of God. He puts it into action. He puts it into practice. When there is motion of God, it is the Holy Spirit who is causing that motion, for the Holy Spirit is the very power of God. Now, he is the power of Christ as well, you see. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one. The Father, and then the Son, and the Holy Spirit is the power of God to manifest the presence of God and the will of God in us and through us. So John saw the Holy Spirit descending as a dove would descend and alight on Jesus and stay upon him. And this was certainly proof to John the Baptist, that this was the Anointed One of God, the Holy Lamb of God. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." Then in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." Now, notice that it was the Spirit who was leading him now. Now, Jesus would say, especially in the Gospel of John, "What I say is what I hear the Father saying. What I do is what I see the Father doing." He did that by the power of God, by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, which was upon him, empowering him in his human body. He was in a human body. He was yet the Son of God, and he was God. He was fully God when he was on the earth walking in the human body, and yet he was fully human as well. And he was empowered by the Holy Spirit, the very power of God. So the Holy Spirit comes upon him and immediately begins to lead him and direct him and manifest in him and through him the very power of God and the presence of God. Anytime, wherever you see the movement of God, that movement is by and through the Holy Spirit, which is the very power of God. Now, let's move to John now, chapter 3, of John, and we'll move through and see what Jesus had to say himself about the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 3 and verse 6, he said to Nicodemus, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Now, Jesus spoke of the need to be born of the Spirit. The Spirit of God conceived us. The Spirit of God had to move into my heart and conceive this new creation that I become in Christ Jesus. In a sense, the Holy Spirit is my Father. He conceived me, the new creation that is in me, you see. The Bible says that when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell us. Jesus said he would be with us forever. And we're told that he is the power and the manifestation of God to us and through us to the world, you see. The power of God, the Holy Spirit, is what gives life. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit gives life. The flesh profits little, he said. Flesh doesn't really give life. It is the Spirit that gives life. Now, in John chapter 6, we see Jesus speaking again of the Holy Spirit, and we see him speaking about the Holy Spirit in terms of coming to us and giving life to us as we believe. Verse 63, John chapter 6, Jesus said, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I've spoken to you are spirit and are life." So again, the Spirit gives life. The flesh profits nothing. We're to follow the Spirit, not the flesh, not the will of man, but the will of God, which is demonstrated and revealed and manifested by the Holy Spirit within us. In John chapter 7, Jesus again speaks of the Holy Spirit, and he says, "On the last day of the great feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, 'If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the Scripture said, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water.'" Now, what is that living water? It is the Holy Spirit. We're told in the Scriptures to be continually being filled by the Holy Spirit. In other words, filled by God. So that is to flow into us and flow through us and flow from us as rivers of living water. That's what Jesus envisions. That's what God wants. Rivers of life flowing through us and from us. Now that's plural. That's rivers. That's much water, you see. That's much living water. So there's much living water available. It's unlimited supply. And we are to be a channel of blessing, if you will. Yes, the writer of that old song, "Make Me a Channel of Blessing," had it right. We are to serve as a channel of blessing. That is, for God to pour himself in us and through us as rivers of living water. Now, this says, it explains in verse 39, "But this Jesus spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." So we see what Jesus is saying here in John chapter 14, that when I go away, the Spirit will come. But if I go not away, he said, the Spirit will not come unto you. So it was necessary for Jesus to go to the cross and through that to be glorified and to be given a name by God that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, every tongue confess that he is Lord. Jesus went through this horrible crucifixion in order to be crowned with glory, in order to be exalted above everything else, and in order to save us, whosoever will may come, and we come to God through Jesus. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. The blood of Jesus cleanses us, and we become a clean vessel, ready to be filled of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So Jesus spoke in John chapter 14 of the Spirit. He said, And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because the world does not behold him or know him, but you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. And back at the end of verse 16, Jesus said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. Now down in verse 23, Jesus said, and if anyone loves me, he will be loved of my Father, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. Now, we've spoken in previous sessions about this being a permanent abode, a permanent dwelling. So not only do we have the power of God, but we have God himself, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, the Father is the source of all things. All those things come to us through Jesus the Son, and they're manifested in us and through us by the Holy Spirit, the very power of God. Now, in if we move on to verse 24, he who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. These things I've spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. Now, Jesus begins to speak of the Holy Spirit and the purpose of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. In John chapter 15, verse 26, Jesus says, when the Helper comes, whom I send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness of me. And in John 14, 26, he said, he will bring to your remembrance all these things that I've spoken to you. And then in John chapter 16, verses 7 through 15, we have the most lengthy teaching of Jesus concerning the Holy Spirit. Listen, Jesus is speaking, but I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper shall not come to you. But if I go away, I will send him, that is the Helper, to you. And he, that is the Holy Spirit, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they, the world, do not believe in me. And concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you no longer behold me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. Now, Jesus is speaking this of the Holy Spirit and explaining what the Holy Spirit is to do. He says, first of all, he will bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. He will reveal to you, from John chapter 15, verse 26, when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you, from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness of me. So the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to bear witness of Jesus. The whole purpose of the Holy Spirit can be summed up to reveal God in Christ to us, to reveal Christ Jesus to us. The Holy Spirit, he said here, will convict of sin. But I tell you the truth, when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Sin is mentioned first. It is the first job in the life of the unbeliever, in the life of the sinner, in the life of all of us who came to God, all of us who are now the children of God. The first thing the Holy Spirit did in our lives was to come to us and convict our hearts of our sinful condition, our sinful state. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to draw us to Jesus, to introduce us to Jesus, to reveal Jesus to us. If the Holy Spirit doesn't convict the heart, the person cannot even come to God. And we can't come to God unless we come through Jesus. So the Holy Spirit is to convict us of our sinful condition, convict us of our need of a Savior, and to lead us to God the Father, through Jesus Christ the Son. And the Holy Spirit comes to indwell us then, and He will never leave us. Now, on down in these verses, Jesus speaks, "I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will disclose to you what is to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall take of Mine and shall disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore, I said that He takes of Mine and discloses it to you." The whole purpose of the Holy Spirit is to reveal Jesus Christ. Over in Acts chapter 2, "And when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place in that upper room, 120 of them. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance." Here on what we call Pentecost Sunday, the Holy Spirit came as promised by God the Father. And if we continue reading here in Acts chapter 2, down in verse 14 and following, the very first thing they did was come out of that upper room, go down into the streets of Jerusalem, and Peter preached that wonderful sermon, and they testified to individuals from all nations, from all countries, in all languages, and they understood and heard in their own language, and the Holy Spirit took that message to the heart, convicted the heart, and added those souls to the church that very day. That was the real first day of the beginning of the body of Christ, when they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And from that time forward, every believer has the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's whole purpose is to reveal Jesus, and the whole purpose of Jesus is to reveal God the Father. And this is a good word, my friend, from God's holy word for all of us today. I'm Gil Hammond for Tri-State Gospel.